A little boy sits in a San Diego backyard as his sister spreads out a blanket and pours homemade cookies from a paper bag. With one word, picnic, she transforms an ordinary afternoon into something enchanted. This simple act plants a seed. Magic isn't found, it's created. That boy would grow up to become RuPaul, the drag superstar who'd teach millions that identity itself is an act of creation. Growing up in segregated San Diego, television offered escape from a complicated home. A stoic mother, mean Miss Charles to the neighborhood, carried wounds she'd never discuss. Only later would RuPaul discover she'd hidden a glass eye his entire life. She warned him constantly, "You're too goddamn sensitive, and you reminisce too much." After her parents' divorce, she retreated to bed for years, medicated and unreachable. Yet from her came lessons in independence and resilience that would prove essential. The boy performed constantly, wrapping towels around his head to impersonate Tina Turner and Carol Burnett, desperate to pierce his mother's darkness with laughter. Watching the Flip Wilson show together, he saw Geraldine cross gender boundaries successfully. At 12, Cleopatra Jones revealed his secret girl, who he wanted to become. These weren't just performances. They were rehearsals for a life of radical self-invention. Flying to visit his father at age 10 felt exhilarating, looking down at the ground, moving faster than anyone else, limitless. Years later, this freedom manifested in cross-country drives for his sister's boyfriend, Gerald, who ran a luxury car business. RuPaul would fly to distant cities, inspect vehicles from newspaper ads, purchase them with bank drafts, and drive them back to Atlanta where Gerald would detail and sell them to the city's elite. The CB radio craze romanticized highway travel, making these journeys feel mythic. Driving alone across America connected him to frontier spirit, truck stops, speeding tickets, stars through open sunroofs. Yet danger lurked. Once, he and his cousin Welby were detained in Weatherford, Texas, simply for being black men in a nice car. America's contradictions became clear, freedom and prejudice coexisting on the same open roads. Detailing cars taught thoroughness. Dishwashing liquid, sudsy water, diamond shield wax, armor all, every step mattered. This attention to detail would later serve drag perfectly. Transformation requires patience, and you can't skip steps for flawless results. Atlanta was everything San Diego wasn't: progressive, cosmopolitan, black, future-oriented. At Northside School of Performing Arts, drama teacher Bill Pinnell taught that life was theater and we were all playing roles. One day, RuPaul heard a radio interview about the American Music Show, a public access program featuring playful, musical conversation. When he finally watched, he was captivated by its raw aesthetic. Hosts sat in a cluttered room filled with irreverent knickknacks, interviewing guests with casual charm. The show's DIY energy resonated deeply. Like Monty Python, it poked fun at everything sacred in American consciousness. He wrote to the P.O. Box, introducing himself as a future star who wanted to perform. To his surprise, they called back enthusiastically. He was the first person who'd ever written asking to be on the show. The studio was a basement apartment, stacks of newspapers, harsh fluorescent lights, the aroma of cannabis. Though not the cultural epicenter he'd imagined, it taught an important lesson. Through a television camera's lens, everything becomes magical. Finding his people at 21 was transformative. What united them was outsider status. The pain of not fitting into ordinary society had driven them to create something better. His first acid trip transformed an ordinary Atlanta afternoon into Technicolor awakening. In Piedmont Park, he met Floyd, Anna, and Mark, a tall blonde with Southern aristocratics gone rogue, who created electric charge when their knees touched. Mark moved in with little more than a duffel bag and David Bowie albums. They survived on Coca-Cola, Pringles, and cigarettes, sleeping on a bare mattress. After losing his job at Davison's for wearing drag, RuPaul became a janitor. One night, Mark shared wisdom from drag queen Lakeisha Lucky. "You're born naked, and the rest is drag." This unlocked universal truth: all identity is performance. When Mark eventually left for conventional life, disappearing with just a note, RuPaul channeled heartbreak into fierce ambition. He designed a poster with his most dramatic photograph and bold slogan, made hundreds of copies, and pasted them across Atlanta. The signs declared, "RuPaul is everything." This wasn't bravado, it was manifestation, turning pain into power and rejection into self-proclamation. After WeWe Poll disbanded, RuPaul launched the RuPaul is Red Hot Review, taking deliberately simple shows from Atlanta to New York's Pyramid Club. Madonna's dismissive glance in the break room captured New York's brutal reality. She assessed him as worthless to her power equation. He built local star power through paid roles in star booty films, zero-budget blaxploitation tributes that gained cult status. During a later trip, he met Randy Barbato and Fenton Bailey, seeing his own potential reflected in Randy's eyes. Larry T's call changed everything. Get your ass back to New York where you belong. This time, he said yes, as a high femme glamazon. The 80s worshipped wealth, beauty, and glamour. He had no money, but could serve sex and fashion. Shaving his legs and chest, he adopted drag between Black Hooker and Soul Train Dancer. At Wigstock, his Whitney Houston performance electrified the crowd. Weeks later, crowned Queen of Manhattan as confetti rained down, he realized he'd charmed the world's toughest audience. If he could do that, he could do anything. After choosing Randy and Fenton as managers, RuPaul attended a Versace show in Italy, watching Linda Evangelista, Cindy Crawford, Naomi Campbell, and Christy Turlington strut to Freedom 90. He knew that's what he wanted to become. Back home, he worked with Mothu Anderson and Zaldi Goko to elevate his look. Then Monica Lynch from Tommy Boy Records called. They wanted to sign him. Larry offered a song inspired by Linda Evangelista's $10,000 a day quote. Recording Supermodel in Battery Park City, gazing at the Statue of Liberty, everything felt inevitable. When he heard it on Z100, his entire life had prepared him for this moment. He'd created the perfect formula. Diana Ross, Cher, Dolly Parton, sealed with Disney's family friendliness. The next year, he returned to Milan, not in the nosebleeds, but as Gianni Versace's guest, taking photos with the same supermodels he'd once admired from afar. Fame brought both births and deaths. After Supermodel was released, RuPaul visited his mother in San Diego. She was walking with a cane after a fall. As his star rose, he appeared on MTV News sharing his philosophy that everybody is a drag queen. The following week, he returned to San Diego, knowing she was dying. Watching the MTV segment together from her bed, she looked at him in awe. "Nigga, you are crazy." That night, he helped clean her, a profound act of love. Before she died, she called to say she loved him and was proud. She had held on just long enough to see her child in full bloom. At Limelight Nightclub, RuPaul met Georges, a fashion student whose guileless nature inspired immediate trust. During an argument, he almost sent Georges away, then recognized his own wounded child testing devotion. He let him in, finally trusting someone with his heart. Eventually, Georges confessed to crystal meth addiction. RuPaul got him into rehab, where attending a 12-step meeting revealed his own truth. He'd been stoned daily since age 10. When Georges chose Miami recovery over moving to Los Angeles, RuPaul ended their relationship. Looking at his reflection in a cracked mirror later, he couldn't look away anymore. He found a house in Lake Hollywood near the 101 freeway, where traffic's rush had comforted him since childhood. Opening his house represented the opposite of childhood shame, therapy for the child within. In recovery, he realized his terminal uniqueness was an illusion. The work now was to be part of the whole. Years later in Atlanta, watching a building being demolished, one he'd watched being constructed when everything felt fresh, he feels homesick for a vanished era. But turning inward, beneath the fear, he finds love. Love for the club kids who survived with him, for his mother, for the men who broke his heart, for Georges who restored his faith. Love for this body that has remained sober for nearly 25 years. Love for the little boy waiting on that porch. In a world that tells us who we should be, RuPaul's journey reminds us that the most radical act is becoming yourself.